Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Tuesday morning, Tuesday, March the 10th, 2026. What do we got? 11 days away from spring. How about that? 15 minutes past the hour, and it certainly does feel like spring out there. Well, let's just start the housekeeping here this morning and see where it goes, because we do actually have a lot to talk about here this morning. Things left over from yesterday, things that went on last night at City Council. It was a very illuminating and interesting meeting, to say the least. Okay, let's start here. We do have Kiwanis Pancake tickets to give away. Kiwanis Pancakes' 67th annual all-you-can-eat breakfast will be at Tri Rivers on Saturday. We will give those tickets away as the week goes along, so stay with us in regard to that. Okay, that's our housekeeping here this morning. Now, last night at City Council, the first thing we found out last night was that Bill Dichtel, remember Bill Dichtel? He was the Republican at-large city council member that was appointed to fill Mike Neff's seat last year when Mike Neff resigned and did not win election. It wasn't re-election because he was never elected. He did not win election last year in the at-large race, was appointed sometime recently to fill Ron Prater's seat on City Council. Mr. Prater resigned in February due to some health issues. So, Mr. Prater's gone, Bill Dichtel's back in the 6th Ward City Council seat. So there you go, that's off the top. Now, let's get to the City Council issues here last night. There were a lot of things going on last night, but the main thing is that the city is about a month away now from their deadline to get a plan to the auditor of state. Apparently, there's a lot of nervousness at City Hall, and I think it showed last night. Now, the first thing on the agenda last night was something we've been talking about, eliminating the 100% tax credit to people who work outside the city. Okay. This was supposed to be the second reading for this. And I'll tell you, people must have called their council person or council people, because everybody seemed to have a change of heart on this last night. Bill Dichtel opened up by saying this affects him and he's not voting for it. So that was kind of interesting that the man who was chosen to fill Ron Prater's spot was not going to vote for the 100%, getting rid of the 100% tax incentive for those who work outside of the city. Okay, so that's where it started. Then I believe it was Sean Barr who decided to amend this. So it's no longer totally getting rid of the 100% tax credit, but it would take it to 50%. So now it would not be a total elimination from 100% to zero on the tax credit. It would go to 50%, seemingly meeting people halfway. Okay, people seem to like that better. Well, they decided to suspend the rules, because here's what's really going on. If this were given three readings, that's going to take 6 weeks. Because when you amend an ordinance, it goes back to the first reading. So last night was the second reading of eliminating the 100% tax credit. So when it was amended to a 50% tax credit, it went back to the first reading last night. So, there will not be a second reading for 2 weeks, and then the third reading would happen 2 weeks after that, which is going to put us well into April. And the city obviously wants to put this in to their plan to give to the state auditor. And if it goes all three readings, it might not make it there, and it might not pass. We don't know at this particular point. So this became a point of contention. Sean Barr decided he was going to suspend the rules and tried to get this voted through last night because of the situation the city is in. Well, you have to have 7 votes to do that. Scott Kreider, Aaron Rollins both voted against suspending the rules. So you did not have 7 votes because they're still missing a council person, as Twyla Lang's 4th Ward City Council seat has not been filled. So they could not suspend the rules. That's what led to the big kerfluffle last night. You just heard it there on the news. But essentially what happened was Aaron Rollins got upset because it seemed as if council felt that they needed to get this suspended. They needed to get this suspended. They need to get it in the plan. And now it's going to be a 50% tax credit instead of a 0% tax credit to those who work outside the city. Okay. Well, Aaron said he doesn't like being taken hostage by, I think he was referring to the administration, but we're going to have to get some clarification on that. But I'm pretty sure that's what this was directed toward, because this is where this idea came from. So he's upset. He doesn't want to be taken hostage. That's why he's voting against this, or at least one of the reasons he's voting against this. Well, the mayor did not like that. The mayor did not like the idea that he was being implicated as taking Aaron Rollins hostage. And this is the conversation that followed. You just heard it on the news report, but maybe some of you are tuning in late. So here's the conversation. Mayor Collins, Aaron Rollins, last night.
Every time we kick this, every time we amend this, it's going to take it back to the first reading. We don't have that kind of time. So I'm not trying to hold anybody hostage. The things that I can do on my own that I know I'll take grief over, but it's what the state has mandated us to do. And if we don't want them to come in and run this city without any input from us, then these are the steps that we have to take. And I told everybody in the beginning, it's not going to be easy. They don't care who's going to hold up the process, but they want to see the process move forward. And I'm okay with, that's why we're having these discussions. And if we decide on a 50%, there's other things we could consider. We could have a 50% with a 1% cap, which was what was suggested to me by one of the tax people in the tax office. They do it in other cities where you might get a 50% credit, but it has a 1% cap, so it helps a little bit. It's not, it helps a little bit more. But I'm okay with the conversation. I'm okay with the discussion. I'm not okay with saying that we're submitting a plan that's holding council hostage.
You know what would have prevented the amendments and then returning this to a first reading? If we wouldn't have rushed it through committee with crazy politics. One person voted against this in committee as it was. We rushed it through. Tell me I'm wrong. Somebody on this council, tell me I'm wrong.
And that was Mayor Collins and Aaron Rollins having a little bit of a kerfluffle last night. And here's the thing. Mayor Collins seems to be very worried that the state is going to take over the city. I mean, he says it in that clip there. It's not like that's made up. You just heard it. That clip is not edited at all. So there's a problem here. And for everybody who seems to feel that city council people are just lining up, you cannot say that at this particular point. Bill Dichtel, right off the bat last night, said, I'm not voting for this. Newly appointed council person said, I'm not voting for getting rid of this entire tax credit. And at some point, obviously the majority of council felt that way last night. So there's a lot going on here at this particular point, to say the least. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Scott.
Good morning.
I wish you would have put in about 2 more minutes of audio of Rollins, because when he's talking about being held hostage, He's talking about the plan that's being submitted to the state of Ohio and how council, or at least he himself, has had very little input on what's being submitted, but yet council is being basically forced to pass the legislation to make it happen.
Well,
that's what I took from it.
Well, I think, yes, he does imply at one point right before that, he does say that they have had very little input, but it seemed to me what he really resents at this
point.
Well, I don't know. It seems to me what Rollins really resents is not so much not being in on the plan, because to be honest with you, I'm not sure how many people have been in on any plan from day one. I think what he said that he resented, and I'd have to go back and listen to the meeting, but I think what he was resenting in the held hostage comment was basically that council has to pass this. This is not something the mayor can do. Matter of fact, mayor said, if I could do it, I would do it.
Yeah, I would. Right. And that wasn't the only thing that the income tax wasn't the only thing that Rollins was alluding to. He was talking about all the recycling and all these other things that the Collins has proposed for the plan that would have to go through council. But, I mean, like you said, we're weeks away. That at this point, they would now immediately have to repeal those things.
Right. I don't think it's much
that
about
being held hostage.
Well, right, but I don't think he's talking about not being a part of the plan. I think he would like to be a part of the plan.
Well, yeah, yes. I think he would rather, instead of saying, okay, this is what we're submitting to the state, you pass the legislation to make it happen, let's talk about what we need to submit to the state and the legislation that needs to make it happen.
Well, this,
we make the plan and you do what we tell you.
This goes back to the mayor's letter. See, this is the problem with the mayor's letter that I kept saying, you know, why would you release that letter on a Thursday, then go on vacation, and nothing brought about in regard to it for a week and a half if we're on a deadline with the state? And I think that's what really ticked Rollins off last night, because he feels there are things that council has to do, this tax credit being one of them.
In that letter, I mean, they would have to do away with the recycling program, other things that council would have to absolve, I guess.
Well, here's
what I'm looking for, dissolve.
Here's
enforced on them.
I want to get this in, because I think there's something afoot, because there is no doubt the storm sewer rates have already been raised.
Mm-hmm.
The sanitation, the mayor can do that on his own, so that's mm-hmm. that's probably going to happen, but it's very interesting to me about the getting rid of the curbside recycling and raising the bus fares. That has yet to be put on anybody's agenda. That has yet to be brought up. Now, this is March the 10th. They're not going to meet again until March the 16th for committee.
And
now,
exactly. And if a piece of legislation comes out next Monday, because, I mean, in theory, it would have to. And it would have to have one reading, and it would have to suspend the rules, and they would have to be forced into one reading on eliminating curbside recycling if they're putting this into the plan. Because I don't think the state is going to accept a plan with legislation that hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, but I truly believe, because there was a moment last night where somebody asked something about curbside recycling. It was somebody from the audience. I believe it was Mrs.
Yes.
Lubke.
It was, and the room went silent.
Well, but there was a thing. The question was, does council have to pass that? And nobody really had an answer on that. And so I don't think the mayor thinks he has to send that through council, which is why I think he has not presented it to council. And I don't think he thinks he has to raise the bus fares through council, which is why I think he has not put it through council. So watch for that, because I think that's coming soon.
I'm going to get off here because I want to hear what other people have to say, but you and I were both in the room when the motion passed for council to have to pass to increase bus fare.
That's true, but there, I'm telling you, there's something strange that
tomfoolery.
Well, I'm just saying, if you are so, because right now the focus is all on this tax credit for people who work outside the city. Now, if you wanted to suspend the rules on that and you wanted to drive that through last night, and in the mayor's own words, he doesn't want to be said that he's holding people hostage, but he's saying, listen, we got to get this done. Well, there are two other things in your plan. We have seen your plan. And you haven't even presented those to council yet. You haven't presented those to committee. So if why are right. you so upset?
I see your point now.
Yeah. So why are you so upset?
It must be done immediately, but the other things aren't surfacing.
Right. And again, this goes back to the mayor. And listen, I have defended the mayor as of late. But again, he did something he has tended to do last night, is that he did not like the word hostage. He did not like that wording. He did not want it to be said that he was holding council hostage. These are just words. You know, I mean, some people will think he is. Some people won't.
Remember, he struck the language out of the party bus legislation about the mayor because they hurt his feelings. Words have a way of upsetting him. They rub him the wrong way. He's very, very delicate man when it comes to words. But I'm reading from your site where he says, I'm okay with the discussion. I'm not okay with saying we're submitting a plan that's holding council hostage. Now, how can he say he's okay with the discussion when he's standing up there practically demanding they pass it last night? That's not having a discussion.
Well, and he also said for the first time, now this is a man who's been in these meetings with the state auditor. He said, paraphrase here, we don't want the state to come in and take us over. So
he doesn't. The rest of us do.
Well,
I do.
There's a lot of problem here because I can understand Rollins' point of view, but there was a compromise last night. You know,
there was a compromise, but you know what? In that, the community should still have, just because they feel like they gave us something, and this doesn't apply to me, just like they feel like they gave the community something, doesn't absolve them of their duty to listen to what people have to say about it.
No, they should absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? So, because people were pissed that it was going to be 100%. All right, well, we'll give the peasants 50%, but we don't want to hear any more about it. That's the way it seems. I don't know if they realize their optics are horrible, but that's exactly. Because I thought, okay, that's a good compromise. That's the way it should be. Suspend the rules. No, you just amended tax law, and you're going to do it with less than 5 minutes of discussion, because that's how long it would have been. They would have been amending our tax law with less than 5 minutes of discussion.
Right, but there also, I mean, there is some truth in what the mayor is saying. The mayor is saying, we have a deadline. We've had a plan rejected.
Hey, listen, his failure to plan is not council's emergency.
Well, no, it's not, but
it's like Rollins said, they rammed this through the last minute that they could before Twilight resigned. Maybe if they'd done the 50% thing from the beginning, it would be passed and he'd be signing it this morning.
Yeah, but you know, one of the issues...
Their plan backfired, Scott. He is experiencing the consequences of his own actions.
Yes, but see, this also comes back to the plan, to the thing that I've always said. Does a lot of council agree with what the mayor says? Yes, I think they do. But you also saw a big change in them last night. Bill Dichtel, who you know, we hadn't seen a press release or anything about him replacing Ron Prater, but there he was when we all walked in last night.
But he was immediately voting to suspend the rules.
Well,
he was okay with 50%. He had heard less than 5 minutes of conversation on it, and he was willing to suspend the rules.
He was willing to suspend, but his first speech...
That's not cool.
Well, he's
been back on council for less than half an hour, and you're already willing to suspend the rules.
Well, right, but I think the problem here is, as I saw it last night, is right off the bat, Bill Dichtel said, I'm not voting for this 100%.
I enjoyed that.
Yeah, I'm not doing
good
that.
Good for him.
And so, right off the bat, I think they knew more or less they did not have the votes to do
John
that.
John Barr had that figured out before he walked in there. He didn't come up with that while he was sitting there, because that even had a reason why he agreed with the 50%. He had a prepared statement, but he knew he wanted to get something on the record. I just want to get it on the record that this is the reason why I'm voting for this.
Right,
well,
but
you had to get it on the record, but this just happened. It wasn't pre-planned.
Well, but on the record, my constituents have let me know they don't like this.
Right.
So,
good.
Yeah.
I'm glad to hear people are speaking to them.
Right, but the issue is, on the whole, is that many things have been suspended that I think maybe should have been looked at a lot longer, and there is a deadline here. Now, again, I'm not saying anybody should vote because there's a deadline, but...
Isn't that the hostage holding that Rollins was talking about?
Right. I think that's how Rollins sees it. But I don't know that the rest of them do see it that way, except Kreider.
Right.
So...
And Kreider's doing the right thing. I mean, you should have more than... Everybody complains when our state and federal lawmakers do this stuff, when they pass the bills without reading what's in them, or they pass these thousands of pages, that there's no chances they could have ever read what was in it. We all get mad about that, but when our local city government sits up there and changes legislation and decides, okay, we're going to pass it right this minute, I mean, people should be upset about that.
Right, but they are between a rock and a hard place, and I will say
That's
this.
That's their own doing.
Right, but I will say this. Okay.
They knew that January 1 they were in a rock and a hard place.
Right, but now let me go back to December. Or November. I can't remember which month.
We knew then, too, Scott. We knew then we were up shit creek.
Right, but here's... Listen, all I'm saying is that when the money, late last year, was voted to give to the... help people with their food problems.
Yeah,
during the government shutdown.
Right.
That was brought up at the end of a council meeting, off the agenda, and voted on that night. Now, there was no...
You gotta change the tax law. That's a one-time $25,000 allotment.
Right. But a lot of people might have liked to speak on that and said, you know what, I don't like that. I do like that. I don't like that. You know, if we're going to let people speak on everything that involves the finances of the city, then we've got to be somewhat consistent in doing that.
I agree with you.
And so...
Since you posed it in that way, I 100% agree with you. We need to stop suspending the rules and at least allow two readings on everything, at least.
Right. So I think that saying that this is an extraordinary situation where they are trying to cram something through, yeah, they're trying to cram it through, but we all know the
reason. Fourth budget, Scott, and did I not ask, I know you were there the night that I said, isn't the 2026 budget more than the 2025 budget? And they all looked at me and said, oh, no. And then last night, well, the 2026 budget had to be more than the 2025 budget just because benefits went up.
That's
what you said 2 weeks ago. And didn't they tell me no, that the budget had not gone up?
Well, but also, this is an important point as well. Who brought that objection up? Ralph Smith. So
I was shocked.
So again, nothing got done last night, more or less.
No, nothing.
Because of the objections of these council members who have been referred to as cabals and mafias. And well, I don't see that.
I'm sorry, just because you ask questions one time doesn't mean that you're not part of the...
Well, I don't know. I don't know if it's just asking questions. I think they're saying, I'm not comfortable voting for this.
Well, you know, maybe they're getting some phone calls from the people, and that would thrill my soul if that's what's going on, that they're actually getting phone calls and emails and questions from their constituents. That would be wonderful.
Oh, but
I hope this is citizenry in action.
And by the way, this is something I want to just slip in here because I don't want to forget to say this if the conversation, you know, continues on this morning.
No, I'm going to get off here so we can let other people complain.
Well, yeah, but
I don't want to manipulate your time.
No, but I want to slip this in because I think this is very important. Okay, here's the thing. I am always for more people finding out more things. I have no problem with people posting things on social media. I have no problem with word getting out. But I'm starting to feel when I'm going to these council meetings that a lot of people who come to the council meetings are completely misinformed about things.
Yes.
Because of things people are putting out there. And
yes.
You know what? You can do it. It's free speech, whatever. But you know what? When you're intentionally misleading people, you're not doing any good for this city.
No.
You're not helping anybody. You're not helping. You're not helping council. You're not helping the city. And you know, every week I go, I'm hearing more of that. And that is very I guess all I want to say is that's very unfortunate. And you know what? Everybody there who, whether or not they are going to vote one way or another, they don't like that. And I guess you have the right
to stop going on those shows. If they don't like that, stop going on those shows.
Well, but you know the thing is, it's clickbait. And
yes.
You gotta stop that because you are hurting. I mean, is the idea to tank the city? I mean, I don't quite understand it.
My whole idea is awareness, to keep bringing awareness, because apparently I'm not trying to puff myself up here, but people are starting to pay attention, and maybe it's not just me, but they're picking up their phone and they're calling their representatives. That's what I want people to do. I want people to be aware of the connections and of the things that are going on in this town that are unfair towards average people. But yeah, some of the stuff, you know, like scaring people with the water and that sort of stuff. But you know what? If people will show up to council and it can get them engaged long enough to pay attention and they can figure out themselves for themselves what's going on, what is true and what's not, then good. If we can get people engaged, even if it's under just to go see what the heck is going on and try to hold people accountable and then find out, oh, that's not actually what's going on, but what's going on is not very good either. You know, so I don't know. I guess I'm sort of torn on it. Now, I will say this. There's a resident who's been going up there pretty regularly. I've been watching. The weather's been too bad or too nice, or I've been spending time with family to go up to council meetings regularly. But there's a resident that's been going up there, and she's passionate. And I don't think old Danny Clark realizes that the microphones pick up stuff when he's talking while people of the audience are talking. Because you were there, I could see you in the front row, and I sent you a message last night, and I said, you should hear how Danny Clark is talking about her. She said something about, you know, I want to be an advocate for my fellow citizens, and he's, like, self-appointed. And she said something else, and he's like, my God, these people. You know, dude, if that's the way you feel, stop taking these people's money to sit up there and represent us, because you represent the entire city, including these people. So stop taking our money and give it to somebody who will represent all of us, you jackass. I'm sorry. That made me so mad. He is so irreverent towards the public already, and he hasn't even been in office for 3 months, and he's already teased people. You don't deserve to represent these people if that's what you think of us.
Well, it's unfortunate if that's going on, but
it's recorded. I mean, you can hear it. If anybody goes back, Danny, go back and listen to the audio. You might want to just sit up there with your lips zipped, buddy, because you are not doing yourself or the city any favors.
Well, we'll continue on here. Thanks.
Take care, Scott.
All right. So that's that. Now, there is something I want to get in this hour before we go any further. Well, you know what? We'll take phone calls, and I'll save this for the next hour. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. If anybody's got anything to say in regard to any of this mess going on here right now, let's take the phone call and we'll save what we've got for next hour. Go ahead, caller.
Love your city.
Oh, yeah. It was a humdinger last night.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
The state of Ohio.
Got that right.
Oh, it's unbelievable, isn't it?
Well, last night I think we found out that the mayor does not have the control over council that some people might believe he does.
I don't think he has control over himself, you know? Well, you mentioned that you felt that the mayor was really nervous.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you listen to him and that audio we played, I mean, he's talking about, we don't want the state to come in here and take us over. We need to get this stuff
he
done.
He doesn't want the state. Could it be that he doesn't want the state to find out some of the things that he and Bodine have done?
Well, you know, speaking of Bodine, by the way, last night they tried to merge the safety and the service director, and even that they could not get past last night. And that was sort of a mundane bit of housekeeping that's going to save the city quite a bit of money by eliminating a position, and they couldn't even get that passed last night because there was so much confusion on paperwork not being right, job descriptions not being right, things not being given three readings. I mean, the things that got passed last night were not much. Not much.
I think the spirit of the Marx Brothers and the Three Stooges have infected our local government.
Well, you know, I understand that the mayor essentially has got his wall back up to the wall because he's trying to write this plan to give to the state, and we're a month away. And what can he put in there if he doesn't know what council's going to pass or what they're not going to pass? And I'm sure that is a big problem for him. But something people better be on the watch for, storm sewer rates have been increased. I don't believe there's any doubt at all that he can increase sanitation. He can do that. He doesn't have to go to council for that. But
you know, in that case, if they increase the sanitation, what I urge everyone in the community to do, if you're outraged by this, take your garbage over to his house and dump it on his lawn.
Well, I don't know if you want to do that.
Why not? It sends a message to the not-ready-for-prime-time politicians who shoot their mouths off and get themselves into a predicament they don't know how to get out of.
Well, here's the other thing. The big questions now, because obviously it is no longer the elimination of the out-of-work tax credit, out-of-city tax credit. Now that's been taken down to 50%. So there was a compromise there. So now there's going to be less money collected there than he believed.
Educate me.
Well,
what exactly is the out-of-town tax credit?
If you work outside the city of Marion, but you live in the city of Marion, right now you receive a 100% tax credit because you're paying taxes in another city. Okay.
Now, they don't have reciprocity with any other cities, so that those taxes are taken out and given to the city of Marion?
I guess not. And
well,
so
here's a big issue. How much money are we losing because of that versus what is the potential revenue generated if we collect the tax?
Well, the estimation is somewhere around $350,000, I think, a year. I believe that's what the number given.
So is it fair to say we're losing that much money a year?
Yes, I believe that's what's been said.
And it would be interesting to see how many of those income tax dollars are lost because, and I hate to pick on them, but Ohio Health, the doctors that work here but live in Delaware or outside of the county and outside of the
city. I don't think it works that way. I think you have to live in Marion and work somewhere else.
Have to live in Marion and work somewhere else.
Yeah, if you live in Marion but you work somewhere else, the employer, which is where you work, if you work in Delaware, of course they're going to pay taxes to Delaware.
Well, we have state reps, state senators, etc. Why hasn't somebody brought this to the attention of the state legislature? Make it de facto, if you live in Columbus, but yet you're working in Upper Sandusky, you pay income tax to Columbus, and vice versa.
Well, that's where it will be solved. But the legislature has obviously not wanted to solve this problem for a long time.
Well, I would think that the mayor, showing the leadership he has, would be tugging on the state legislature, our reps, and get this issue resolved so that we don't have to try to figure it out for ourselves, because it seems to be something that they can't figure out.
Well, this mayor's not going to figure it out, and the last mayor couldn't figure it out either, because there's a lot of people in the state legislature, and clearly they do not want to fix this problem. So
everybody at the state legislature should be fired then.
Well, they're voted in and out. Do what you want. But the point is that so the city of Marion came up with the idea as not to penalize people or tax people twice, to give people a tax credit if you worked outside the city. That was the deal. Well, Mayor Collins wanted to drop that down to zero. He wanted to completely eliminate that. which would create a revenue stream for the city of Marion that would help in this situation, the financial situation we're in. And it looked as if that was going to pass. Well, apparently a lot of people got calls. Do not want this taken away. So, last night, it was amended that they're only going to take 50% of it away. You'll still get a 50% tax credit if you work outside the city of Marion. Instead of a 100, you'll get a 50, but it won't go down to zero. So they met in the middle. And they wanted to vote on that last night, but they didn't have enough votes to suspend the rules. So it's going to sit there for two more readings, probably pass, but the mayor can't put that in his plan until he knows what it is. And the plan is probably going to be due before this passes or fails.
Well, you know, there are too many scoff laws that are people just, they let them go. I am tired of seeing one yellow pickup truck with a flat tire. I call about it. It's never been moved. They go out. They don't ticket him or anything. They pump up the tire. It goes flat again. And it's been this way for well over 2 years. Junked buses, a Hooters bus and a Greyhound bus, derelict buses, you know, cars parked left of center. If the cops were out there really giving tickets, and I know, you know, they don't want to do the paperwork, but hey, it's part of the job. It ain't as sexy as taking down a drug dealer and getting all the cash and guns and drugs that you can. But these are things, this is ridiculous in town. People with loud mufflers. We have, you know, codes within the city and noise. What do you call it? A noise ordinance, etc. These little things that are overlooked and could be, you know, generating more revenue. I'd like to see in the police reports how many improper turns, improper lane changes, changing lanes at, in, or near the intersection. Too many people are driving around willy-nilly and getting away with it. But the most irritating is to see these people, I think, from either Kentucky or West Virginia, that are parking left of center on the streets. That's dangerous, you know?
Well,
there are a lot of ways that these people can generate revenue that's really been lost revenue over years, and they need to start getting their act together, you know?
Well, we'll see as we go down the road.
Oh, to a better tomorrow.
All right, and again, the phone lines are open here. We've got about 8 minutes left in this particular segment, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Well, isn't it interesting out there this morning as we go on down the road with a lot of the stuff that we're talking about here this morning on the big program? Go ahead, caller. Oh, we lost that caller. If that was you, give us a buzz back. 740-383-9944. We had somebody there on the line, and I think we got him. Nope, we still got a dial tone. Okay, call us back. You know, one day I'll learn how to work the phones here. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz back and we'll get you on the air here because we do want to hear your opinion, as we have heard other people's opinions this morning in regard to a lot of things going on in the city in regard to the city's, I think you would call it a financial crisis at this particular point. 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz, and if the line's ringing busy, just means we're on the line with somebody else, but we'd be glad to hear your thoughts on whatever you got at this particular point. But yes, Bill Dichtel, new 6th Ward City Councilman, replacing Ron Prater, who's got some health issues going on. And where do we go as far as the financial plan in the city goes? I don't know. I think it's going to be an interesting point. Can the mayor get rid of the recycling program, curbside recycling, and can he raise the bus fares without going to city council? Because you've got to wonder at this particular point, I mean, there's not going to be another city council meeting until what? The 23rd of March? And this plan has to be given over to the state auditor in April? I mean, there's certainly not going to be three readings on getting rid of curbside recycling. There's not going to be three readings on raising the bus fares. There wouldn't be enough time. So does the mayor believe that he can just do that unilaterally and not take it to council? I don't know. Councilman Rollins feels like he's been taken hostage in this particular situation, and that maybe the mayor is trying to bypass council or force council into passing these things so they can be put into the state plan and not be given three readings, so on and so forth. Well, we've got about 5 minutes left in this segment. If that was you calling in or you have anything to say in regard to this, feel free to buzz in, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. That's why we're here. But that was the main point of contention last night at the old city council meeting. It's very, very, very unfortunate that it's come to this situation. And the clock's ticking. And as I said last week, I just felt there was something off about the mayor putting out this letter about what he wanted to do the previous week and then going on vacation last week, and none of this was talked about. And to be honest with you, last night, curbside recycling got brought up by somebody in the audience, the elimination of it, but that was about it. I mean, it really didn't go any further than that. And nobody has talked about the bus fare increase as of yet. So we don't know where that's going. But there's a lot of questions. There are a lot of questions. And again, if that was you trying to buzz in there a few minutes ago, I believe the phone lines are working okay and are open right now. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And again, I just want to say, I am for news getting out more ways, because the more the better. Somewhere in the middle, we'll find the collective truth, the more people we have reporting on things. But at some point, people have just got to be a little more responsible in what they're putting out, because I think everybody believes the citizens believe that everybody is following some kind of journalistic rule, and it's not an editorial, it's fact. You know, facts are important when it comes to this stuff, and misleading people is not necessarily, I mean, I guess it gets clicks, it gets clickbait when we do little funny things, but you know, it's certainly not helping anybody. But if your goal is not to help anybody, I guess that says something about you. If you're trying to mislead people and cause a lot of problem. And again, the phone lines are open. 740-383-9944. Now, there's a lot more to talk about next hour, and we will have open phone lines. But one person who was at last night's city council meeting for a unrelated issue was former Marion City Treasurer Tom Panett. Now, he was the treasurer prior to Tommy Reese. Tommy Reese was in there for one term. And we had a chance to talk to Tom Panett last night, former Marion City Treasurer, and it's about a 10-minute interview. We'll play it next hour. But it's very, very, very enlightening when it comes to the city's finances and what was going on when he was in there, and where we are now, and why we are, and so on and so forth. So we'll have that 10-minute interview with former Marion City Treasurer Tom Panett next hour. And we'll continue to discuss a lot of these other things. And we had a big conversation yesterday in regard to a, I don't even know what I want to call it at this point. Stuff that shouldn't be going on. Let's put it that way. Pretty much the whole show was devoted to that yesterday in regard to something that a substitute teacher might have done, A lot of people were interested in this. So we'll continue that conversation as well, because there's something more I want to say in regard to that off the conversation that we had yesterday, and we'll try to explain exactly what it is again next hour, because I think this needs a little bit of clarification as well. So we've got the interview with Tom Panett, former Marion City Treasurer. We'll continue to talk about City Council, and we'll discuss what we talked about yesterday on the show involving what was going on at River Valley. There you go. We'll be back right after this.
Listening to the place for the best guests and talk. From Joey Diori at WGN's Bozo the Clown,